Greetings. We are on the news line with Dr. Anthony Ragusa. He is a psychologist at Evangelical Community Hospital. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me on again, Mark.
Oh, I do appreciate it. We're in the middle of this pandemic, and how are you functioning? How are you working? Tell us how you're doing your work today.
Well, I've been doing great. I have I've not been in the office for the last month and a half, and I've been working out of my home office, which has been a very enjoyable experience for me. I know that a lot of people are having stressful experiences right now, and in some ways this experience is stressful for me too. But there are other ways in which I've come to really appreciate the changes this has brought. So, because I'm able to work at home and see patients online, it's just a lot more comfortable for me. I'm in my home office; it seems less formal, and so that's been my experience so far.
How are your patients or clients coping? You can't give out anything specific, of course.
It's going to be a while before I have a better sense of that. I have been in touch with patients who are having difficulties at this time, but you know, honestly, on the whole, I've been impressed at how well everyone is coping right now. You know, there are certain things that are stressful for all of us, things that we're worried about, things we'd like to do that we can't do right now, changes in our environment. You know, we're stuck a lot at home with family. The kids aren't in school. It creates all kinds of new challenges. But I've been impressed at how much my patients have been adjusting and adapting to these circumstances, and my colleagues too at the hospital. Everyone's been doing a really good job, I think, on the whole. But I'm mindful of the fact that first of all, there are some people who I'm worried about, and it's the fact that I don't hear from them that is more worrying for me. And I'm also mindful of the fact that the impacts of this time are likely to be very long term. I'm not just worried about how people are dealing with things right now. I'm also worried about how it's going to change their lives over the next year and 2 years and 3 years. Back in the day, I used to live in Florida, and after Hurricane Wilma, which was devastating to the area, you didn't immediately see a whole lot of people coming in because of issues related to the hurricane. But what you'd see is this trickle of consequences that would occur over the following few years. You know, for example, a person loses their house in a hurricane, or let's say it takes some damage, and then they spend the next few months trying to clean it up, and that's exhausting to them. And they try to get money from the government, and the money doesn't come through in time. And they get some contractors to try to fix up the house, and the contractors only do a partial job, and then they leave, and they can't get anyone else to come in and work on the house because everyone's so busy trying to fix up their houses. And it creates this cascade of ongoing stressors that goes on for years and has big effects on the direction of a person's life. And so you can imagine at this time that people may be sort of able to hunker down right now and get through it. But as time goes on, the economic consequences of the government shutting down for such a long period of time will have impacts on people's jobs, obviously. That will create more stressors on relationships and have an impact that will probably have indirect impacts that will last over decades. So those are the things I'm also concerned about.
All right. Well, what would those indirect impacts be over the decade and decades? What might we see?
So you could imagine, for example, situations where because of the stress of say losing a job, a married couple decides to get divorced. Divorce creates its own new stressors, okay, and adds more stress to people's lives. On top of now they're having a hard time getting work. Their children, Their children are watching all of this. Their experience is watching their parents struggle under all the financial stress that comes from losing work and then maybe separating from each other and getting divorced. On top of that, the children are now falling far behind academically, and maybe they were having difficulties before all of this started. And so next year, when school starts up again, how hard is it going to be for them to get back into the swing of things? And we have some evidence from research that those kinds of interruptions in children's lives due to you know other natural disasters like hurricanes, we studied it in those kinds of situations. Those kinds of interruptions can actually have very long-term impacts on children's education and mental health. So those are just a few examples.
I hope this question isn't too broad, but how might the pandemic make some existing conditions worse?
First of all, I also don't want to focus on how everything can be worse as a result of this. One of the things that I don't think gets enough attention is the idea that that difficult times like this are also opportunities for growth. That traumatic situations can not only really take us down, but they can also lift us up. But people who are experiencing a lot of stress already before this started, those are the ones that are probably most likely to struggle to keep their head afloat during this and may not be able to turn this into a growth experience. Instead, they may feel like it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back, and that may lead them to then give up putting effort into things, feel like I can't get ahead, so why bother? They may be more likely to turn to substances at this time. I'm concerned about all the demand for alcohol right now. A lot of people have nothing else to do, and they're drinking a lot, and that's not good coping. That's an example.
And what would you say to somebody that might be having? What would you say to everyone out there who has to keep getting through this for another couple weeks?
It's so hard because it's going to depend so much on everyone's specific circumstances. You know, people keep saying, I keep hearing this being said in the media, that we're all in the same boat together on this. But that really isn't true. We're not all in the same boat. We're all in the same ocean, but we're all in our own boat. And some of us are dealing with this crisis. They're weathering the storm while riding in a yacht. And then there are other people who are riding out the storm in a leaky canoe. And so those people are all experiencing the same thing, but from very different places. And so the different things that you need to remember and to get you through the next few weeks is going to depend on what are your resources. Are you in a yacht or are you in a canoe? And not only that, but you know what are the stressors that you're dealing with? So I think that, if I can try to give a sort of a general blanket recommendation to that would apply to most people, it would be to focus on the basics. So when we're under stress, human beings are really great at dealing with intense levels of stress over short periods of time, but we're not very designed to deal with severe stress over long periods of time. And when we're under stress, we also have a tendency to ignore some of the basic things that that keep human beings healthy, things like regular high-quality sleep, high-quality diet, social interaction, meaningful activity. These are examples of things that we all need to be doing all the time to stay healthy and resilient to stress. But when we're feeling overwhelmed, we tend to kind of go into crisis mode, and we just focus on whatever's making us feel overwhelmed, and we worry a lot about it, and we try to deal with that problem entirely to the neglect of all those other areas of important self-care that will actually help us to deal with the emergency. So we can wind up sort of shooting ourselves in the foot by focusing entirely on the crisis of the day and ignoring self-care. So what I would recommend to everyone, regardless of what boat you're in, is to make sure that you're doing those basic things. Make sure that you're paying attention to your sleep, your diet. Try to get some minimal exercise in every day. We're not talking about going to the gym. What the research shows is that you don't have to engage in a great deal of exercise in order to gain the mental health benefits of exercise. If all you're doing is you take maybe 20 minutes of your day every day to do some walking, walking around the block, just walking around your house, going up and down stairs, that may be sufficient in order to get the basic mental health benefits. It really doesn't have to be a heavy cardio workout or anything like that. Although the more exercise that you do, there's research that suggests that the better the benefits are psychologically and physiologically. So exercise, making sure that you're trying to talk to other people. It's easy at a time like this to become very isolated, and it's really important to not let that take over. You want to force yourself to try to get in touch with people, talk to people, even if it's only by phone or by video or email or whatever. As long as you're communicating with people, that's important for good mental health. So just remember to stay on those basics, and that will help give you the resilience that you need to get through problems as they come up down the road. Remember, this is a marathon that we're all running here. It's not a sprint. So you want to stay in tip-top shape throughout this experience. Don't burn yourself out now. You need to try to rejuvenate your resources as we go along.
When is it appropriate to reach out to a counselor or a psychologist?
So there's going to be different reasons, but one example would be if you're experiencing difficulty with any of those basic self-care activities that we just talked about. So if I say, need to focus on sleep and make sure that you're getting a good routine of sleep where you're going to bed and getting up at roughly the same time, you're getting restful sleep, and you hear that and you say, yeah, I've been trying that and I'm not getting anywhere with that. I've been sleeping awful and everything that I do to try to fix it isn't working. That would be a time when you might want to reach out to somebody. If you're noticing that your relationships, the people who you're living with day in, day out, are becoming increasingly strained and stressful, maybe as a result of isolation, then you may want to reach out to someone and see what may help you in that situation. If you're feeling like you're overwhelmed by stress in some way and the tools that you normally find works to get through it just aren't working right now, then that would be a good reason to reach out.
What about social media? I always think of that sort of as a mixed bag in terms of whether you might feel connected to other people, but they may, you could get messages that make you feel worse. And plus, you get political messages. People would tell you that it's not necessary to stand down or people that are kind of opposed to those things. What role does social media play?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually do have research on this. And what seems pretty clear from the data is that people who spend more time on social media at times like this tend to have more indications of mental health problems. They report higher levels of stress, mood problems, sleep problems. And we think that there may be a connection there. We think that there's a certain minimal amount of time that you should spend consuming news and social media that helps you to stay informed and connected to people. But past a certain dose, it actually starts to become counterproductive, and you start to feel overwhelmed, you feel stressed, aggravated, anxious, irritated, and so what I recommend to folks is keep your social media diet limited. You know, like Mom used to say, everything in moderation. You want to try to spend a little bit of time on there to stay informed. If you find that the social media that you are consuming makes you laugh, you know, there's a lot of funny things on the internet right now. If you're feeling some enjoyment from the social media that you're engaging in, then fine. You know, use that feeling as your guide. If you're feeling good, then great, you can continue. But if you find that as you spend time on Twitter or Facebook that you just get more aggravated and stressed, then that's probably a feeling that you should also listen to and say, you know what, this isn't really good for me. I'm going to distance myself from that. And just see what it's like to limit your social media and news diet. You know, not just social media, but this applies to the news as well. If you're the kind of person who likes to keep, you know, CNN in the background all day long, I might suggest as an experiment, particularly if you're feeling stressed a lot, just turn it off. Check the news once a day just to make sure that nothing big has happened that you're not missing out on, some big decision has been made that you need to know about. Check the news once a day, but then that's it. Just let it go because you probably noticed that there's not a whole lot that's changing day to day in regards to the pandemic. And so you're probably not getting a whole lot of new information, but what you are doing is exposing yourself to a lot of negative themes and stressful ideas and fears and worries and bad news that takes a toll on your mind. And you may not even be aware of the toll that it's taking. And so that's why I suggest, just as an experiment, trying to either eliminate or greatly reduce your news intake during this time and just see how it makes you feel.
What about relationships? I want to step back into those that sometimes people can run into relationship issues, you know, either with parents and young people of whatever age or between adults. I don't imagine that there's sort of a catch-all piece of advice, but anything to maybe keep in mind as you're going through your day?
So, yeah, I think that one of the things that everyone needs to try to do is to try to keep some empathy for the people around us. You know, I talked about how we're all in the same ocean, but we're all in different boats. And so you may be out there in public and you may see people who you think maybe aren't social distancing enough, aren't taking the pandemic seriously enough, and it may make you frustrated and upset to see that. But what I want everyone to try to remember is that everyone is experiencing this in somewhat different ways, and that the way that everyone is dealing with it probably makes more sense than you realize for them. So, for example, just because you see someone out not wearing a mask doesn't mean you need to get angry that they're not taking this seriously. So, for example, they may have forgotten their mask at that moment, and maybe just a friendly reminder is all that's needed to go, you know, oh, don't remember to take your mask out next time you leave the house. That may be all that they need. There may be some other reason why they don't have their mask on. Some people are paying more attention to the risks than others. That's true. Different people are going to have different senses, perceptions of the level of risk at this time, depending on what research and what news they focus on, depending on their own personality, their own habits and lifestyle. Everyone's going to have slightly different perceptions of what's the level of risk and what are reasonable steps to take right now. Just another example, I'm in touch with a lot of other colleagues, other psychologists right now, and everyone's online talking about, you know, when do we go back to working in the office? If we go into the office, what steps are we going to take to try to minimize risk of exposure? And different people, different professionals, they're all psychologists, but many of them have different takes on when they're going to feel ready to go back to the office and what steps they feel comfortable taking, okay? Even though they're all psychologists and all doing the same thing, they're going to have different perceptions of risk. And that doesn't mean that some psychologists are, you know, not taking it seriously and others are. It's just differences. And I want everyone to try to remember that everyone is, most people are making the best decisions that they know how, given the tools that they have. And to try to be empathetic to other people, try to be understanding. And if you feel like someone isn't taking things seriously, try to educate them from a place of caring, not from a place of anger and frustration, because other people typically don't respond well to that, okay? And on top of that, when we get angry and frustrated with everyone else, it makes us stressed. And when we're stressed, then we have less patience and tolerance, and it makes everything worse. So trying to have empathy and understanding for the people in your life, your family, the people who you encounter out in public can go a long way to making yourself feel better. You know, I talked a little bit about having empathy for others. Some people right now are really enjoying the amount of time that they're spending with each other. Families who, you know, maybe under normal circumstances would be working so much that they don't see each other much, maybe now are spending a lot of time with each other and really enjoying that time. And like I said, this can be a time for growth and rejuvenation, not just stress. But other people may feel like we're all stuck in a little tin can together, and everyone's little annoyances that are starting to really grate on everybody's nerves, and people can be getting really stressed out. One of the things that I'm encouraging people to do is to ask for and give feedback. So it sounds obvious. We all kind of know this. We've all been told this. But again, it's one of those things that we often forget to do when times are stressful, is to ask for feedback and to give feedback. And what I mean by that is, for example, you know, you may be feeling stressed out and irritated by family members in your home. But rather than just complaining about what everyone else is doing or not doing, it might turn things around for you to say, how can I help? What are you experiencing right now? How are you doing? I've been really frustrated and irritated, but how are you doing? And what can I do to make things easier for you? And taking the focus off yourself and your own stressors and trying to help someone else who's probably also stressed can work wonders for both of you for improving your mood. And if everyone's doing that, if we're all you know, checking in on each other and sharing how we're really feeling with each other, then oftentimes we all feel then more supported by each other, and we actually do things that are more supportive of each other. The problem that people run into is they wind up, in times like this, they can wind up sort of isolating themselves from each other in the house and not talking to each other and avoiding each other because they're feeling irritated and annoyed. But the problem with that is that it often winds up just sort of making the problem worse. And so although setting boundaries is important, it's important at a time like this to say, you know what, I need some alone time right now for an hour or two. Can you just leave me alone for a little bit of time here? I need to go for a walk or go for a drive or something like that. Those boundaries are really important for self-care. But outside of those boundaries, you want to make sure that you are checking in on the people in your life and seeing how they're doing and offering to help them in any way that you can, because they may need it.
Okay, resources.
There are definitely resources that are available for people if they want to take advantage of them. Our local, sort of the regional hotline for mental health crises is 1-800-222-9016. Again, that's 1-800-222-9016. The National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Once again, 1-800-273-8255. My own office, you know, we're busy, but we're still taking appointments. although right now all of our appointments are by telehealth. But my own office is 570-524-6766. Once again, it's 570-524-6766. If you're looking for other resources, not necessarily mental health related, I would consider checking in with the United Way. They've been doing a good job collecting resources for people. If you have questions about getting assistance of various kinds, they're trying to help people. If you're interested in mental health services, there are a lot of mental health professionals in the area, not just me. There are a lot of professionals. And if you're not sure if your insurance is approved for me or anybody else, call the insurance company or get online. Usually they have websites where you can check if a doctor or a professional is on their list of approved providers, and check with that first. And then see whoever is, you know, closest to you. The bottom line is that if you're feeling overwhelmed, don't be afraid to reach out. One of the things that I've been noticing lately is that I think some people are avoiding coming in to see me or talk to me because they're worried that either I'm overwhelmed or that there's just a ton of people calling me and wanting appointments and that they're just not going to be able to get in. And we're seeing that in other areas, too. You may have seen on the news how in a lot of hospitals around the country, hospitals are seeing a lot fewer emergencies come into the emergency room. And it's not because people aren't having medical emergencies. They're just not going into the hospital because they're afraid that the ER is overwhelmed. Or they're going to get sick or whatever, and they're just trying to think about everyone else and not their own needs. And what I'm saying is that, no, don't worry about that. Mental health professionals like myself are doing okay. A lot of us are actually a lot slower than we usually are just because of all the people that aren't coming in to see us anymore. And hospitals, same way. A lot of hospitals are perfectly capable of handling your medical emergencies if you go there. Don't be afraid to reach out for help right now, okay? Help is available.
Dr. Anthony Ragusea, a psychologist at Evangelical Community Hospital in Lewisburg.